Beloved congregation of the Lord, as you know, we've been considering together various aspects of our worship service, and we want to stress that that's what this is, a worship service, a public worship service in the house of God. We're not talking about family worship or private worship, but the public worship service, the church service, specifically the Reformed worship service. And that service begins when the elder shakes the pastor's hand up front here at the pulpit. That elder, on behalf of the consistory and the congregation, opens the pulpit to this pastor. The elders are responsible for the preaching in the church. And the worship service ends when the elder shakes the pastor's hand after the doxology. Now, last time we noticed that there's a dialogue that's happening, or a conversation in the worship service. We speak to God, we tell Him our help is in the name of the Lord, and God speaks back to us. He says, grace to you and peace from me. And most of the service is the pastor who's saying those words, but the pastor speaking to God on behalf of the congregation and to the congregation on behalf of God. Remember, this is corporate worship. We are here together. That's a common saying these days. We're all in this together. Well, that's true here in the worship service. We're all in this together. We all worship together. We worship as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just the pastor who says, my help is in the name of the Lord, though that's true, but our help. It's not just the pastor who hears those words, grace to you and peace, but it's announced to the whole congregation. So we have the votum and the salutation, and the next part of the worship service is singing. And we do a lot of that in the Reformed churches. We have, for example, this afternoon, a song of approach, a song of response, a song of preparation, and another song of response, and a song of thanksgiving, and a doxology. That's a lot of singing. That's a lot of songs. That's what we want to focus on this afternoon. That the congregation sings in the worship service. I want to do that from various texts, but focusing on Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That text and many others under the theme, the congregation sings in the worship service. We want to address that theme by answering three questions. And the first one is, why do we sing in the worship service? And the second is, what do we sing in the worship service? And the third question is, how do we sing in the worship service? So first then, why? Why do we sing in the worship service? Do we have to? Can't we just have somebody read some scripture and somebody have a sermon and that's it? No, that's not it. We are commanded by God to sing in the worship service. It's not up to us whether we sing or not. There are numerous scripture references to go with this. I'm just going to give you a handful of them. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Psalm 47, verse 6. Four times it says, sing praises to God our King. Psalm 66, verse 2. Sing forth the honor of His name. Psalm 98, verse 5. Sing to the Lord with the harp, the voice of a psalm. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Isaiah 12, verse 5. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. Now, every one of those references comes in the form of a command. We're commanded to sing. Now, those were all Old Testament references. What about the New Testament? Well, think of our text. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. basically the same thing as said in Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now those are commands too in the New Testament. So in all the above scriptures, we are commanded to sing. And scripture puts it in various ways. Talk of all the Lord's wondrous works and do that by singing. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness by singing. Make His praise glorious by singing. Rejoice before Him with singing. Tell that the name of the Lord is pleasant with singing. Make known that He has done excellent things by singing. Be filled with the Spirit while singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in us while singing. Every one of those references is a command to sing. So why do we sing? If there was nothing else, we are commanded to sing. Secondly, singing was always part of the worship service. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, you read of them singing. Also, at the Old Testament feast of the Passover, they sang the Hallel Psalms. They were sung in every devout Jewish home and in the tabernacle and in the temple. And that carried over into the New Testament. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ? At His last Passover with His disciples, He instituted the Lord's Supper and He sang at that sacrament. Matthew 26, verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We'll discuss that Greek word hymn a little later in our second thought. But being a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ knew the ways of the Jews. He knew what God had commanded. So He sang the Hallel Psalms. He went to the cross with the words of Psalm 118, verse 17, on His mind and on His lips. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. What a comfort those words must have been to our Lord Jesus at that time. And as believers are being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, it includes singing, because Jesus was a singing man. So we are commanded to sing. It was always done as part of the worship service in the Old and New Testament. And thirdly, God's people will sing in heaven. That's not the only thing we'll do, but it begins here. Singing the songs of Zion. Listen to Revelation 15. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. And those are all quotations from various psalms that they're singing there in heaven. And fourthly, God Himself sings. Did you know that? That God actually sings? And it will surprise you what He sings about. Listen to this from Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Doesn't that amaze you? God rejoices over His people with singing. The Lord our God will rejoice over us with gladness, it says, and with singing. Well, if the Lord Himself sings with joy over us, then it will please the Lord if we sing with joy about Him. God Himself sings. The redeemed sing in heaven. Singing has always been part of the public worship service in the Old and the New Testament, and God Himself commands it. That's why we sing in the worship service. But that brings us to a second question. What do we sing in the worship service? You already know the answer, but see, there's this ongoing debate over exclusive psalmody. That means singing only psalms in church. Sometimes we ask, why don't we sing hymns in church? That Psalter is so old-fashioned. That Psalter is not Christ-centered. It doesn't even mention the name of Jesus. Isn't it up to us what songs we will sing? No, it's not. God is a God of order, and He will be worshipped as He has prescribed. He not only commands us to sing in the worship service, but He prescribes what we must sing. And first of all, the Lord has given us a book of songs in the Bible. It is the book of Psalms. There's our songbook. All the words inspired by God Himself. And He has put that songbook, as it were, into our hands. And He says to us, sing these to me. Not your man-made songs, but my Holy Spirit-inspired psalms. So He's given us a book of psalms. And then we have the express command to sing psalms. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9, Psalm 105, verse 2. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. Psalm 98, verse 5. Sing to the Lord with the voice of a psalm. And again, we want to use that example of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 26, verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Psalms. And somebody's listening very carefully and says, see, but Pastor, that says a hymn. That doesn't even say a psalm. Doesn't say that He's saying a psalm there. And yet, it does. Because that Greek word that Paul uses here does not have the same meaning as hymn as we know it today. We think of hymns, and they're all recent, like in the past 300 to 400 years. When Jesus sang a hymn, He was not singing Amazing Grace. He was not singing On the Old Rugged Cross. What does it mean then that Jesus and His disciples sang a hymn? Well, see, at the Passover, the Jews sang the Hallel Psalms, Psalm 113 to 118. That told of the marvelous deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. Praise the Lord, it says in those psalms, 10 times, the Hebrew word hallelujah. That's where they got that word Hallel Psalms from. It means praise. Psalm 118 verse 14 says, the Lord is my strength and song. That's that Greek word that's used here for hymn. So at the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ and all devout Jews sang psalms. And the Lord's Supper was always administered in a public worship service. So we may conclude that the Lord Jesus requires the use of psalms in the public worship service. In heaven, Revelation 15, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. And they're singing Psalm 111. The works of the Lord are great. Psalm 139. Marvelous are thy works. Holy in all his works. Just or righteous and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Quoting Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. And then the Apostle Paul. In his letters, he gives the church instruction to sing. In our text, be filled with the Spirit while speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, while singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And singing is simply another way of speaking. In Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, while teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, while singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So according to the Old Testament and the New Testament, what are we to sing in the public worship service? Well, there's three words that are used here. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And now, when we think of hymns, we're thinking, for example, of In Christ Alone, or How Great Thou Art, or Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's what we sing, we think, when we hear the word hymns. And if we think of spiritual songs, we might think of some of the old slavery songs from way down south. Spiritual songs. But these three musical terms did not mean the same for Paul in Greek as they do for us today in English. So we need to find their meanings from the Scripture, from the Bible. And in the New Testament, many terms that are used come from the Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew. In Jesus' days, they already had a Greek translation of the whole Old Testament. That was Jesus' New Testament. That's the New Testament that the Apostle Paul used. And in that Greek Bible, the word Psalms appears 67 times. And in Psalm titles, for example, Psalm 4, verse 9. And it's also the Greek title for the book of Psalms. So as it is used in Ephesians, it clearly refers to selections from the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. In the Greek Bible, the word hymns appears 17 times. Six times as titles of Psalms, Psalm 67, Psalm 76, a psalm or a song. And that's translated in Greek as hymn. And, you know, sometimes you read the Psalms and you come across these strange words from David upon Neganoth or something like that. Well, that word Neganoth is translated in Greek as a hymn. And it comes in the titles of certain Psalms in the Old Testament book of Psalms. The same with the Greek word for spiritual songs. 36 times that comes as a title of a psalm in the Old Testament book of Psalms. So when we come to that phrase in the Bible, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it's talking about psalms, different types of selections from the book of Psalms. You get all three together in the Greek Bible where they translate Psalm 137 this way. It's got to do with by the rivers of Babylon. There, they who carried us away required of us a song. That's that Greek word for spiritual song. They who wasted us required of us mirth. That's that Greek word for a hymn. Saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. That's that Greek word for a psalm. So when the Apostle Paul instructs the Ephesians and the Colossians and us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song, he's referring to three different types of selections from the Old Testament Psalms. When he says, be filled with the Spirit while singing the psalms, those psalms that are inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself, word for word, God's word. Sing those back to God, says Paul. Sing all the types of the psalms to the Lord God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom while singing all types of the psalms to the Lord God Almighty. They are the very word of Christ. Search the Scriptures, he said. They testify of me. So why must we sing? Because God commands us to. And what must we sing? In the worship service? Psalms, because that's what God commands us to do. But that brings us to a third question. And then it becomes a little more personal. How do we sing? And again, we have to turn to Scripture for the answer. Ephesians 5, verse 9, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Psalm 47, sing praises with understanding. Psalm 138, I will praise you with my whole heart. Psalm 147, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 14, I will sing with the spirit and with the understanding also. If we try to put all that together, then first of all, we must say that when we sing in the worship service, it comes as an expression of our faith. Singing in the worship service is to be an act of faith. Paul writes in Romans 14, verse 23, whatever is not from faith is sin. So we're commanded to sing. We know now what to sing, but how do we sing? And we have to be very careful with that, because we need to be humble prayer or psalm singers. Some people have become so proud of their psalm singing. We sing only psalms in our church. And they criticize anyone else. Hymn singers, they don't say this, but that's what they're really saying. We are so much better than those people. But if you don't sing with faith, then every time you sing psalms, it's a sin. Whatever's not from faith is sin. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. Because the psalms are very experiential. And we must sing with truth from our heart. So we must sing by faith, and we must sing honestly. We sing the exaltation of Psalter number 251. Thou hast filled my heart with gladness. Thou hast made my life victorious. God, my rock, my strength and refuge. We sing those words. Is that true, though? Is that true for you? Are you singing honestly? Or are you taking the Lord's name in vain when you sing those words? At the end of this sermon, we're going to sing the profession of number 426. That's going to be our song of response. And I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. I cried, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. In him I found salvation. Is that true for you? Will you sing that honestly? Because if you don't, you'll be taking the Lord's name in vain. When we sing the prayer of number 231, O Lord, to us thy mercy show. We wait to hear what God will speak. Is that true for you? Are you praying for the Lord's mercy? Are you waiting to hear what God will speak? When we sing the praises of number 76, ascribe to him glory and render him honor in beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. Do you do that then? Is that by faith? Is that singing honestly? If it's not, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. So we must sing by faith. We must sing honestly. And we must sing reverently. Serve the Lord with reverence and godly fear. Singing should be like reading the scriptures. It's an act of worship to the Lord God Almighty. And we must never be careless while singing. I'm sure I'm not the only one who sometimes get to the end of a song and you say, well, what did I just sing here? I wasn't even thinking about the words. But we need to concentrate on those words. What am I saying here? And we must sing prayerfully. Many of the psalms are prayers already. And so we sing them as prayers, but some are not. I hope most of the children know number 53 of the Psalter. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me. The quiet waters by. But is that reality in your life? If it is not, then you may turn that psalm into a prayer. Have you ever sung Psalm 23 as a prayer? Praying while you sing? Oh, good shepherd, please be my shepherd. so that I will lack nothing in my life. Lord, please make me to lie down in those green pastures of your word. Please, Lord, lead me beside those still waters of the gospel of Jesus. Lord, restore my soul. Is there a way to be received back into favor with God? Make me to walk in those paths of righteousness for your own name's sake. Comfort me with your rod and staff, so that even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. O Lord God Almighty, be with me. Prepare that table before me in the presence of my foes. Anoint my head. Cause my cup to overflow. And Lord God, make mercy and goodness follow me all my life. And then let me dwell in your house forever. In Jesus' name. See, you can take Psalm 23 and turn it into a prayer. Sing those psalms by faith. Sing them honestly. Sing them reverently. Sing them prayerfully. So now we know why we sing in church. We know what we sing in church. We know how we are to sing in church. Let me make a few observations yet about singing the Psalms. The first observation is this: the importance of teaching our children to sing the Psalms. The Psalms should be the first songs that they learn. Train them to sing at home. Then they will sing here too. I was so happy. It was last Sunday. Little boy who had just learned to read, and he had a Psalter book, and he's trying so hard to sing, and he's singing along. How beautiful that is to see. I've been in churches where children are not singing, and the parents are just ignoring that. Or even sadder, when adults were not singing and leading by their example. You know, when we sing in church, remember, we're all in this together. We're singing together, and you choose not to sing, then you're saying, I don't agree with the rest of you. Whatever you're singing, that's not for me. Let's make sure that our children know the Psalms before they learn all those other songs. They're going to learn lots of songs in their lives, even ones you don't want them to learn. We want them to come to church to sing the Psalms, and that it won't be strange to them when they come here. Church is not the only place where your family sings Psalms, is it? Oh, listen to the Psalms throughout the week, in your homes, in your cars. Teach your children the Psalms. It can be a means of grace for their souls. It can be used by the Lord to comfort them, to instruct them, to bring joy to them later on in life. Let me tell you about my mother. She's now 93 years old. She has Alzheimer's. She doesn't think straight anymore. She doesn't recognize me or my brothers. But when we sing psalms to her, she knows all those words. And it calms her. So no matter how old she has become, no matter how her mind has gone, she still knows those psalms that she learned when she was a child. And now the Lord is using them to comfort her. Now, in her old age. So teach your children the psalms. That's the first observation. Second observation is this: the Christ-centeredness of the psalms. Psalms are often criticized for not mentioning Jesus' name. And they don't have the name Jesus in them. It's true. But Jesus himself says in Luke 24, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And when we compare the Psalms as they are written in the Bible with the songs we sing here in church, you see how Christ-centered they are. Psalm 2 prophesies Christ's humble birth. In Psalter 3, we sing, supremely blessed are they who in Christ their refuge take. Psalm 40 and Psalm 78 speak of His earthly ministry. And in Psalter 2:14, we say, my people give ear, attend to my word. In parables new, deep truths shall be heard. That's Christ-centered. Psalm 22, well known to us, it prophesies of the crucifixion. And we sing it in Psalter 47, my God, I cry to Thee, O why hast Thou forsaken me? And Psalm 16 prophesies of Christ's resurrection. And we sing of it in Psalter 29, my soul in death's dark pit shall not be left by Thee. Corruption Thou wilt not permit Thy Holy One to see. Psalm 68 and 110 prophesy of Christ's ascension and sitting at the right hand of God. And we sing of it in 302, the Lord unto His Christ hath said, in glory I enthrone Thee till all Thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign King shall own Thee. Psalm 45 speaks of Pentecost. We sing of it in number 125. Psalm 89 speaks of Christ's kingdom. We sing of it in number 242. Every psalm that mentions forgiveness of sins, every song that mentions grace and mercy and loving kindness, every psalm that mentions salvation is a Christ-centered psalm. And that means that every psalm is a Christ-centered psalm. So a third observation is this, that we need the experiential reality of the psalms we sing. We sing from Psalm 42 in Psalter 115, as pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come, Thy gracious face to see? Stanza 4. Why, O my soul, art thou cast down within me? Why art thou troubled and oppressed with grief? Hope thou in God, the God of thy salvation. Hope, and thy God will surely send relief. To know that experientially. And a fourth observation is this, the place of modern hymns, those based on Holy Scripture, and yet we have no scriptural warrant to use them, to sing them in the public worship service. What are we to do with them then? Can we sing Amazing Grace at home? Sure, but don't neglect the Psalms. On our way back and forth to church, be listening to hymns or singing them. Is that wrong? No, that's not wrong. But don't neglect the Psalms. The family worship time, we sing a hymn, of course. But don't neglect the Psalms. What about Handel's Messiah? Fill the Scripture. Even quotes the Psalms. Sing it, memorize it, go for it, but don't neglect the book of Psalms in the worship service. According to scriptural principles, we sing God's inspired songs back to God. Here, we use God's songbook, the Psalter, the book of Psalms. Why do we sing in the worship service? Because God commands us to. What do we sing? The Psalms. How do we sing? How do you sing? Is it an act, an expression of your faith? Are you singing from the heart? If your heart is not right with God, then come to the Christ of whom we sing. Flee to Him for refuge. Pour out your soul to Him even as you sing. How do you sing? Has it ever become a problem? A burden? for some of you. I recall the day when in church we were singing Psalter 426. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace, and I couldn't sing it. Because that was not true for me. Everybody else was singing it, but I couldn't. I turned it into a prayer. Oh Lord God, let that be true for me too. That was a problem. See, the Lord commands us to sing psalms. But at times we cannot sing them truthfully, can we? The Lord commands us to sing these words. But at times we can't sing them honestly. So then we sin if we do sing. And we sin if we don't sing. Because He commands us to sing. And that brings us into a vice, doesn't it? It grips us. It squeezes us. The only way to sing to the Lord's honor is to sing with grace in our hearts. So let us pray for the Lord's grace to enable us to sing uprightly. Remember the Lord's very first words to us in the worship service? Grace to you. He says that because He knows we need His grace. Not only to listen, but also to sing. But do you find an echo of the Psalms in your own heart often? Then psalm singing can become an act of praise to the Lord. You can find the expression of your soul sometimes. Your joys are laid out in your desires of your heart. But also your doubts, your fears, and your struggles. It can be so uplifting, saying, I'm not the only one. Whoever wrote this psalm, he felt that way too. And he's a child of God. So there's hope for me too. We can be uplifted by the psalms we sing in church. Every part of the worship service is meant to glorify the Lord God Almighty. Also, the singing of the psalms. So why don't we have soloists? Why don't we bring in choirs? Why not have a praise band up here? You know why that is? Because then all the focus would be on people. And that's never good in the worship service. In the congregational singing of the Psalms, the focus is on our Lord. Even more specifically, on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All these things, said Jesus, must be fulfilled, which were written in the Psalms. Concerning me. So think about the worship service now. Whether we are saying to the Lord, our help is in your name, O Lord. Or we're hearing from God, grace to you and peace. Or we're singing. Or we're reading scripture. Or preaching or hearing. Paul says, whatever you do in the worship service too, do all to the glory of God. Amen.